The title of my sermon today is Blessed to be a Blessing, and that was a phrase that I often heard from a friend of mine at Bible college, and he was quite wealthy, and he always used it as kind of like a defense for how well off he was and how well off his family was. He says, and he's like, you know, Joe, I'm blessed to be a blessing. That's how I see it in terms of my finances, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that. And the whole interpretation of this phrase that we often hear, it's kind of this big Christian phrase that you hear, blessed to be a blessing. And I want to kind of reinterpret how I see the phrase blessed to be a blessing and what that means for us. Before I begin, I think the best framework, we're continuing our series of blessing, and when we're talking about blessings, I think it's really important to just remember that God is a good Father. And whenever you talk about blessing, think about the blessings of God as you would think about how your father might bless you, how a good father would bless you. And understand that God is perfect in all of his ways to the way he treats us. There's a song that I like at the moment, and the bridge goes something like, you are perfect in all of your ways to us. And sometimes you don't always realize that, but in the way that God responds to everything that we've ever done in our lives, every step we ever take, every decision we ever make, the way that God responds to how we do that is perfect. He's always perfect in the way that he responds to us in our lives. And he's a good father. And any blessing that he might give you, or any blessing that he might withhold, or any curse for that matter, as my dad talks about, I think, in the first one of the series, he's perfect in the way that he's doing that. He's perfect if he's withholding blessing. He's perfect if he's blessing you. He's good, and he knows what's best for you. I just want you to keep that in your minds as we look into this. In the Old Testament, as you look at blessing, a lot of the verses that you see, it comes across as talking about kind of material blessing and having lots of cattle, you know, essentially money, and being blessed in a way that means real material wealth. Whereas in the New Testament, I want to read just some of the verses that we hear about people who are wealthy, people who are rich. 1 Timothy 6, 9-10 says, "But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmless desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil." You'll know that famous verse. "It's through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs." Matthew 6, 19-21, "Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor dust or rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart is also." Matthew 16:26, "For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but forfeits his soul?" Does God want to bless us? Yes, he does. Does God want to bless you financially? Yes, he does. Does God have a problem with somebody being rich? No, he doesn't. The problem that God has is if your heart is set after money, if your heart is set on being rich. You know, all throughout the Old Testament, it's so clear that God wants his people to be blessed. Both, there's lots of different blessings, but financially as well. He wants us to be blessed financially. But in the New Testament, he shifts the focus and says, finances shouldn't even be your concern. Don't even worry about your finances. I'll take care of that. Look how I look after the birds in the sky. Look how I look after everybody else. It shouldn't even be your focus. Your focus should be on me, on relationship with me. And it was like that in the Old Testament as well, but we see it more clearly when Jesus comes and says it. Let me read you 1 Timothy 6:17, and this kind of puts it into perspective. "Command those who are rich in this present world to not be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life." There's nothing in there about it being a sin to be rich. In fact, he talks about how we should enjoy the blessings that God has given us in our lives. But it also talks about sharing that then with others. So in a very real sense, when my friend at Bible college said to me, "You're blessed. I'm blessed to be a blessing," that's very true, and we are. However, there were a lot of friends that I have who they kind of made it their life aim to be like a really successful businessman, because they're always thinking about money. They're always thinking about, you know, how can I be wealthy? And they kind of thought, well, if I earn a lot of money, then one day I can use that to further the kingdom of God. Sounds like a great idea. You know, if I become a really rich businessman, start an incredible business, maybe a new app that makes millions, and then all of a sudden I can fund all this foreign ministry and it'll be fantastic and we can really bless the world. I just want to say to anybody who has that mindset, because I've had it before, it's probably not your calling in life. You're probably not called to do that. Most of us in here are probably not called to make millions for Christ. If you are, fantastic. I would say, though, if that's something that's constantly you're thinking about, that might be an indicator that you kind of, your focus is on the wrong thing. Our focuses in our lives should be on Jesus. However he chooses to use us, that will come out of our relationship with being with Jesus and focusing on Jesus. And Rick Warren talks about this. He wrote this book called Purpose-Driven Life, and one of the best-selling books in all of history. I think it's only second to the Bible and the Imitation of Christ by Thomas A. Kempis. And he said, I saw it on an interview once, he said, "I am convinced that the only reason God gave me the grace to write that book is because he knew what I would do with the money." And him and his wife, they purposed, the minute they started earning, the minute this book started selling millions and millions of copies, they were getting loads and loads of money, and they purposed they weren't going to touch any of it. And they put it all into different giving streams, and purposed that they weren't going to take any of it. And he says, "I'm convinced the reason God blessed me and used me to do that," he said, because he was never naturally very good at writing or anything like that, he said, "I'm convinced it's because he knew that I could be trusted with that responsibility." And many of us, I certainly have thought about this in the past, want to be really wealthy or be really successful in life, and we think to ourselves so that we can be a blessing. But the truth is, what are you doing right now with your finances? What do you do right now with what God has given you? What do you do with the little, the supposedly little that you might seem for, think God has given you? Because I guarantee you now, if you're not doing much with what you do have, you'll not do it when you have more. It just won't happen. God would not choose to bless me with winning the lottery. I tell you that right now. I am pretty bad with my finances. It just somehow it just goes. I don't know where it goes, but it just goes. It's just, it gets to the end of the month and I'm just like, where did it go? And I know I need to improve on that, and my dad's helping me with all that. But God would not, and it would kill me. It wouldn't be good for me. See, sometimes God withholds blessing from our lives because either it will destroy us or we'll waste it. And God hates waste. Hates it when we waste things. In fact, he said to, if you look at the parable of the talents in the Bible, you could interpret it as just purely money. But I would choose to interpret it as much more than money. It's the gifts that God's given you in your life. And the things that he's enabled you to do, talents that he's given you. What was said to the servant who didn't throw it away, he just didn't do anything with it. Okay, so it wasn't like he frittered it all away like I often do with my finances, but he just didn't do anything with it. And what did the master say to him when he came back? He said, "You wicked servant." He called him wicked for not using what he'd been given. And I personally find that such a challenge. Because there's so much that God has given me in my life. I mean, all of us living in the Western world, I'm not going to do a preach about how we're blessed, living in the West. I know you all know that. But we all have been given so much. And many of you have got incredible talents that you've been given. And so often, I find personally, and I hope I'm in fair company, that I waste some of the things that God has given me. Not everything, but sometimes I waste the gifts that he's given me. And I just feel really challenged this morning to challenge all of us, including myself, that we choose not to waste the things that God has given us, and we steward preciously the gifts that he's given us. And it might be money. You know what? And I hope there's one or two of you in here that are called to bless the kingdom financially. And because you're able to generate amazing amounts of income, you know, really wise with business and all that sort of stuff. But I'd encourage you, if you are holding out for that, well, God wants to know what you're doing with what you have already. A couple of Proverbs just want to read on that subject. Proverbs 13:11. Wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase. Particularly that relates to if you were, all of a sudden came into a large amount of money, maybe inheritance, or maybe you won the lottery or something. But most of us, we would end up wasting it, I think, and or it would end up destroying us. Proverbs 38:9. Remove far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Let me say that again. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. So what can we do then? If I'm right, and I may not be, I could be totally wrong, but if I'm right and most of us in here are not called to be people who are earning millions for the kingdom of God, how are we as people blessed to be a blessing? Well, I touched on it a bit earlier, but we've all been given many, many gifts. Some it seems obvious, it feels obvious that there's more than others. I had a friend at Bible college. He's one of these people that's just good at everything. Doesn't matter what it was. He was fantastic. He was an incredible worship leader, really good singer. And then musically, he could play like 20 instruments, all of them just as ease. He was like one of the best preachers I've ever heard. His character was incredible. Like, he just, amazing servant heart. And just had all these gifts and talents. Okay, and then you meet some of the people, and they're often quite self-deprecating, which I always discourage. But you get some people that say, oh, you know, God just hasn't given me much. I ask, you know, not many gifts I've been given when I was born. I'm just pretty useless at most things. I'm pretty stupid. I'm pretty dumb, all these kind of things. But even people who appear not to be very gifted, there's many gifts that God has given all of us. We're all fearfully and wonderfully made. We're all unique creations. And I just want to say to any of you in here who've lived your life at times disqualifying yourself, thinking that you are not particularly gifted, thinking that you haven't been given much by God, you have. And it's an insult to God to say that he hasn't blessed you, because he really has. And sometimes you just need to discover what that is and recognize the gifts that he's put in you, because you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And he loves you and he wants to use you. It says in the Bible that Jesus grew in favor with God and men. We can grow in the favor of God. And I want to encourage you that one of the best ways you can grow in the favor of God is to steward what he's given you. If you want God to favor you more, bring more blessing into your life, use you more for his kingdom. If you want to see more breakthrough in your life, grow in the favor of God. Look after what he's already given you. Steward what he's already given you. And it's amazing what God will do. I'm reminded of a story. Somebody told me from a book they'd read, that this incredible story. It was written by one of these kind of Bill Johnson characters. It wasn't Bill Johnson. And it's this guy. He had this incredible vision of, he said he had a vision of heaven. And he describes this vision. He was a famous preacher. And he describes this vision of, he's all of a sudden he found himself in a heavenly courtyard full of people. And he realized that he recognized all the people, and they're all people from his life. And what he noticed at the courtyard is that right at the front of the courtyard, it was all shining and gold and incredible, and there was a place of great glory, and it was a place of great honor. And there was a guy sitting on a chair or a throne of a real privileged place. And then as it went further and further away from the front, there was places of less and less honor, less and less blessing, less and less kind of glory. I mean, it was all heavenly, so it's great. But he noticed that there was kind of a scaling of it. And then all of a sudden, there was a corridor that parted between them, and he started to walk through in this vision. And he noticed that there was people right at the back that he saw, different preachers that he knew, different pastors that he knew, different businessmen, different people. As he started to get further along, he noticed other family members, friends, as he started to walk more and more and more into the glory, into the front where this kind of chair and throne was. And as he got right to the front, he noticed, sat on this chair and this throne, of a place of great honor and place of great glory, there was sat a homeless guy that he used to walk past every day for a number of years in his life, who had died a couple of years before him. And there was somebody there, and he asked him, what's going on here? Why is this loser homeless guy right at the front of this courtyard? on this place of great honor, and like the most honored place in the whole courtyard. And somebody said to him, "Well, you see, all these people that you see behind you, God gave them so much. He blessed them with so many different gifts, so many different talents, so many different things that they were able to do. And they only used a couple of them. They only used a few of them. They only used like one or two. And he'd given them so much. And they wasted so much of it." And he said, this person here, this homeless guy that you walk past every day, God only ever gave him two graces in his life. One was to care for his mother when she was ill and to honor his mother his whole life. And the second was to say a kind word to someone as they walked past on the street. Only ever gave him those two graces. Everything else in his life was messed up, but I blessed him with those two things, and he used them to the fullest of his ability, and he never wasted any of the blessing that I gave him. And he remember coming out of the vision, and he talks about how it really shook him, thinking about the gifts that God uses. Now, it's not a vision from the Bible or anything. This is what he went through, but I think it makes a very good point, and that is that you've all been given graces in your life. Gifts that God has given you from birth. You know, they're almost in your DNA, things that you can do better than anybody else. And as you've gone along in life, there's also been blessings that God has given you, graces that God has brought to you. And sometimes we use them, and sometimes we don't. And I just as a word of caution for all of us this morning, including me, is don't waste what's in your hands. Don't waste what God has given you. The question I'd ask you this morning is, what do you have in your hands? You know, Jesus asked that same question. What have you got? Come as you are, what do you have in your hands? And you don't have to come up with some incredible new ministry or some amazing life-changing thing. It starts off as making little changes every day in your life, little things that you can do to bless others, little ways in which you can use the gifts that God has given you. For me personally, I'm quite honest and a blunt person, and sometimes that can make people feel like I'm being rude. I'm not. Or sometimes they feel like I'm being arrogant, which I'm not. I'm just quite direct, and I prefer to be spoken to directly and bluntly. It's very difficult to offend me. But on the positive side of that is that I'm very honest when I encourage people, and I'm good at encouraging people. I'm good at being encouraging. And it's something that I don't do enough. That's definitely a gift that God has given me in my life, to be able to encourage others, and I don't do that enough. And so that's definitely something that I need to not waste, and that I've felt personally challenged this week that I need to improve on. There's loads of other things that God has given me in my life, and I don't want to go into more now, but I want you to think about some of the things that God has gifted you with and some of the ways in which you can bless others. I remember I was just talking to I've got a friend, Dwayne, visiting at the moment, who's also just as ill as me. That's why he's at home. And we were just walking. He didn't know what I was going to be preaching on. He said, "I really admire this old lady in my church. You know, she for as long as I've known her, she just has always wanted to bless people." And he said he had a conversation with her one day, and she just said, "You know, I just desire to be generous to people. You know, I wish I had more money to be generous to people, to care for people more." He said, but what she didn't just disqualify herself because she didn't have loads of money. He says, what she does is every time she ever gets the opportunity, she invites people around for dinner. She'll try and host people. If she knows that somebody's in need, she'll cook them a meal, bring it round. She's just always trying to serve wherever she can serve, always trying to help. You know, she's old now. She's lost a lot of her mobility, but she does whatever she can do. And she helps wherever she can help. And she says, "I was never going to be a great preacher. I was never going to be, you know, an incredible businesswoman. But I just gave whatever I had. I gave what I could bring." And I find that such a powerful story. And I wish I had a heart like that. I wish I had that kind of attitude. And I'm trying with the grace of God. And I think that's an attitude that we can all learn to grow in. So what can we do? Again, what do you have in your hands? Do you want to be more generous with your resources? What are you doing with the resources you already have? Do you want God to be more generous to you with his resources? What resources? What are you doing with your resources that you have? Do you want to be a better evangelist who's able to really bring people to the Lord? What are you doing right now with your small voice? What are you doing in your workplaces? What conversations are you trying to have? Maybe you want to be someone who's able to disciple people and bring people into a place of incredible strength in God, and be someone who makes disciples and who then makes more disciples. I think we all want that. You know, what I'd ask is, what are you doing right now to disciple people? How are you trying to speak into people's lives right now? That's a big one for me. I feel very challenged by that. Maybe you want to grow in your ability to hear God. You want to be someone who's able to hear what God is saying, you know, prophetically sense what is happening in the next season. Have words of knowledge, words of wisdom, all these kind of things. How much time are you spending now trying to listen to God? How are you stewarding what he's already given you? And by the way, every single one of us have the potential to operate in any single one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Who is the greatest prophet in the Bible? Jesus. Who is the greatest evangelist in the Bible? Jesus. Okay, who is the greatest man of wisdom in the Bible? Some people think it's Solomon. It's Jesus. Jesus always wins. And we are called to be like Christ, okay? And so we all have the potential to be little Christ. That's what Christians mean, and to do what he did, to see healings. Maybe you want to grow in a healing gift of ministry. How much are you stepping out in that? How much are you praying to see people be healed and stepping out? Or maybe it's just for other things in your life, other blessings. And what I want to encourage you with is some final words is, what do you have in your hands? What are you doing currently with what you have? But having said all of that, God still really wants to bless you. He really does. And he doesn't. And sometimes he blesses you irrelevant of how good you've been. You know, it's not like a reward system. Sometimes he will just choose to bless you even when you haven't earned it. It happens all the time. I'm terrible with money. And I think of my dad, my mum and dad. They're my parents, as you all know, and they knew that I was bad with money. They knew Liam was also pretty bad with money. And when they got some inheritance from my granddad, who died, they still decided to give all of us £1,000, even though they knew that me and Liam weren't very good with money. So I had certainly not earned the right to receive that blessing, to receive that amazing amount of money. I did not earn it, yet my dad and my mum still chose to bless me. And so sometimes God will bless you anyway, because he's good like that. You need to remember, I want you to remember, he's a good, good father. He loves you. He wants to bless his kids. If you think about your own children, do you want to bless them? Of course you do. You want to bless them. My mum more so than my dad, I think, for the minute, sometimes. So I want to pray for a couple of things in closing. And I really felt as I was praying this morning and last night, I really felt that God wanted to bring some breakthrough in the lives of people this morning. I really feel this is going to be a morning of breakthrough. And God's really going to shift some things in our lives. But before we do that, I wonder if we could all stand if you're able. And I wonder if you could reflect for a moment and think about one or two things that you know God has gifted you with in your life. A grace, perhaps, that he's given you since birth. A talent, a gift. And maybe it's something that you've been neglecting. Maybe it's something that you haven't used to the fullness. Or maybe you know there's gifts in you that you haven't used. And I want us to take a moment just to pray and to ask God for forgiveness, because I need forgiveness this morning from God for wasting some of the gifts that he's given me. And I think when we come to God with humble hearts and we admit where our shortcomings are and we ask him for help to get better at those things, he's a good father and he wants to help us. So I wonder if we could just take a moment, next couple of minutes, if the worship team could, that'd be great. Take a couple of moments to think about the gifts that God has given you, the graces that he's put over your lives. Musicians could play some kind of music without words. I wonder if you just pray this with me in your heart. You don't have to pray out loud. So I don't even know what I'm going to say yet. God, I thank you for all the gifts that you have given us as your people. From the gifts that you gave us when we were born, that are deep inside of us, that have always been there because of the way you made us, and for the things that you've blessed us with in our lives, the things you've helped us to grow in. God, I ask you right now to forgive me and to forgive us for when we've neglected, for the times we've neglected the gifts that you've given us, for the times where we know we could have done something but we didn't, for whatever circumstance, God. And I pray right now that as we come to you for help, that you would help us to use those gifts to the fullest of our ability. And God, I pray and I ask that you would bring us new gifts, bring us new graces in our lives, new talents, that we could use them for your glory, and help us to grow in the talents that we already have, and help us not to neglect the things that we know we do have. We're sorry, Lord, and we're thankful that you love us and forgive us, and we ask that you would help us to use us in the future. In Jesus' name, amen.